And Father, I thank you and I give you honor and glory. And Father, look around about the sanctuary tonight and see the faithful hearts that have come out to sit in your presence and to worship with you. And Father, I'm asking for a special blessing be poured out upon them tonight. And Father God, restore the ears that the decayed worm has stolen. Set them on high places, Father. Use them abundantly for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was sitting there and just that last song was ending and I was thinking about I got these Trump hats that says Trump something on, I forgot what it says, and you know, little beanie hats. And I offered it to some of the guys and they said, well, you know, really at my work they don't like President Trump, so it would be a bad thing. And I was thinking, it's just like putting a target on your head, you know, here I am, shoot me type thing. But you know what God said to me? He said, well, daughter, that's what happens here. He said, those who brave it and come out here to sit in these services, they have a target on them too. Because a lot of pastors tell their people not to come here. And I know some of you who your pastors are, and I know your pastors think that I'm of the devil. And so for you to come out here just like you were in the President Trump hat, amen, you're a target for gossip and everything else. And I thank you for bypassing all that and just coming and sitting at the Father's feet and learning everything that he wants to have you learn. Amen. One day when we all get to heaven, everybody will know the truth and the truth will set them free, right? But until that day comes, we just go on and wear our little beanies that says the Lighthouse Church, and we just let people take pot shots at us, right? And we aren't even concerned about that. But it just struck me as funny that God told me that right before I stood up. So God's pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. It really doesn't matter if I am or not, but God has pleased you, and that's the most important thing. And, you know, I was thinking about Andrew. You know, I never know who Andrew is until he smiles, because did you ever notice all the different hairdos he has? He has more. They're all good. He can wear anything. And as I walked by him today, he said, that's the way people are that come into my house. They wear a different mask. Yeah, see how God, he just does things like that. But see everything. Anyway, Andrew fixes his hair, he looks good. So we put on a pretty mask that we look good on the outside. But what are we like? He's good on the inside too. But I'm just saying how God just used that to say about how people will put on a face or a mask and disguise who they really are. Even though they look good on the outside, they're not good on the inside. We aren't one of those though, right? No, we're not. We are who we are 24/7, right? If we're upset, we're upset. And if we're happy, we're happy. And, you know, and if we want to say something, we say it. And we just go on and we live the life that God's called us forth to live. When Adam told me how he was going to blow the shofar, and he said he was going to use that little one. I said, that'll surely wake us up. But then I heard the baby cries. Well, woke the baby, if nothing else. And I was thinking, that baby should be able to sleep through anything after being in our services, right? With all the different loud noises that she hears. But sometimes that's what we do, too. We sleep through the voice of God, don't we? We sleep through anything. We don't want God to bother us. After all, we're taking a nap. You know, and I don't care how he says he's not going to yell, but I don't care how loud he would yell, we wouldn't get up. Has any of you ever had an angel come and tap you and tell you to get up? Had an angel come when you were sleeping and tap you and tell you to get up? That years ago, one night I was in my bed sound asleep and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and I went like this and they tapped me again. They said, get up, get up. And so I sat up and wasn't anybody in the room, but I know now it was an angel. They said, get up and go down, turn to your right and go into that bedroom. Well, I did, and I saw something that was not right. But the angel of God woke me up so I could get that thing taken care of. And, you know, see, the angel of God will come, and he will wake you up, and he will tell you things. So don't sleep too soundly that you don't feel, you know, feel him nudging you whenever he wants you to get up. One other time, my alarm clock went off in the middle of the night, And I thought, why in the world did that alarm clock go off? And God said, get up, go downstairs. So I went down there. Something was going on down there. It shouldn't have been going on. See, God will get you awake any way he wants to get you awake if he wants you to do something. Some of you better, maybe you should start tuning your ear into the different sounds that go on while you're sleeping. And, you know, because God, you never know when God's going to move upon you, especially now after this morning, and tell you things that you need to know. Amen? Come on. Tonight, we're going to talk about God's love. And God wants us to be God inside minded. And I have love as God. God, love relates to God, or God relates to love, however you want to put it. We need to understand that the God to whom we are praying is in us right now. We're praying to God, but he is in us. All right? If that is the case, and it is, then how could he not know, excuse me, what you're going through? If he's inside of you, how could he not know what you're going through? Because everybody says, oh, God doesn't know what I'm going through. Yes, he does, because he's inside of you, right? 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God is with us at all times. He says, I never leave you nor forsake you. He's always in you. Remember when I was fasting on the 40th day, I grabbed that cashew nut and ran up the steps, and the voice said to me, where are you going? I said, I don't want anybody to see me eat this nut on my last day of fasting. He said, I see you. He said, you just lost what you fasted 40 days for over a nut. See, so I was hiding from the people because they knew I was fasting, and I didn't want them to see me break a fast. But it didn't matter what the people saw, it's what God saw. So you might think, oh, well, the pastor can't see this, so I'm safe. You know, the great shepherd's watching you, and he sees everything that you're doing. So, you know, you don't keep anything from him. You're only lying to yourself when you think you do. All right? There's one thing I want to do. Whoever helped decorate, stand up, please. Whoever helped decorate, stand up, please. One, two. Teresa Ann's in the upstairs. And who, is that it? And Adriana, she's working. I want everybody to give them a big hand clap for the beautiful job they did. You can sit down now. This took a lot of hard work. Teresa Ann spent 3 hours on the Christmas tree because she had to rewire it. But I just came in this morning. I thought, wow, they really did a good job. This was all for God, not for y'all. We do this for God every December. I like to please him. He likes things like this. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? The Holy Spirit comes from God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. You are not your own. Got that in your spirit? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are you seeing that? You're not your own. Jesus was not his own, and that's why he went to the cross. You belong to God. You swore allegiance to God. You made a covenant with God when you became born again. You belong to him, and the devil no longer has any rule or reign in you. Are you listening here this evening? 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You are. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See that? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Yeah, God just wants to take care of us. And in order for him to take care of us, we have to be sold out totally and completely to him, right? So how sold out are you to God? If you're sold out to God 100%, then he's going to totally and completely take care of you. He's going to meet every one of your needs. I promise you he will, if you're sold out to him. But if you're still playing games, then he won't meet your needs. If you're not walking in the love walk, he can't meet your needs. If you're not walking holy, he can't meet your needs. See, well, you might say to me, I'm walking holy, but inside you're not. You're really not. But God sees that, and God hears your lie. You have to be walking holy before a holy God. And I was thinking today, you know, from the time I was first born again in 77 until today, I've slowly watched the church fade. Haven't you? Slowly watched the church. The people in the church just, you know, leave the church, go back into the world. And the church is not the church anymore. The church is totally messed up. And why is that? It's because when the enemy came, he conquered the leaders. Because they were not living a holy, righteous life. And they compromised because they wanted to keep the people. And therefore, they no longer belonged to God. The people in this area told me, if you would just quit preaching repentance, you would have the biggest church around here because people really love you. But they cannot stand the message about repentance. They don't want to change. Well, that's not my problem, right? It's their problem. I do what God tells me to do. And if you're going to preach it, God said, then walk it. Don't just talk it, but walk it. Because people are watching you, they're listening to you, and you're either making them fall or you're making them grow. And one day when you stand before God, he's going to hold you accountable for those that you did not walk right before and they weren't saved. Your blood's going to be in your hands. The Word of God tells us that. All right. In verse 18, notice that God is not an absentee father. He said, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God is right there always doing his part, leading, guiding, strengthening, healing, coaching, encouraging, warning, protecting, and most importantly, loving with all his heart. Jesus promised that he would not leave us orphans. God is right there always doing his part, leading, guiding, strengthening, healing, coaching, encouraging, warning, protecting, and most importantly, loving with all his heart. Now, the devil doesn't do that for you. And I'll tell you what, if you were the devil's at one time and you decide to turn to God, and then you decide to turn back the devil, he's going to mess you up royal. He's going to beat you to death because you had the audacity to step into the Father's court and leave him out in the cold. And now you have the audacity to come back. This is how the devil figures things out. All right, so you want to come back to me? I'm going to make you suffer now. I'm going to take everything you have, and you're going to end up with absolutely nothing. But you won't be able to go back to the Father either. I'll make sure to that. This is why God told me right on, and I've heard other preachers preach it since then, that they were in a tug of war. God said, the enemy's pulling on one arm and I'm pulling on the other. And it's up to you which one of us win this tug of war. And I always made sure Jesus won the tug of war. I did not want to be in the enemy's camp. Are you listening here? All right, God promised that he would do all these things, and he does them all the time. And don't tell me he doesn't, because I'll have to tell you you're a liar. God does these things all the time. All right, what is the problem then? Why is it that so many Christians have the idea that God never does any of these things for them? Here's the reason why. Instead of believing he is doing these things, most Christians believe he isn't. Instead of believing God is doing these things, most Christians believe he isn't. We need to understand that faith is the connection to his leading, guiding, strengthening, healing, coaching, encouraging, warning, protecting, and loving voice. Faith. 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 If you don't have faith, then God can't do anything for you. Are you listening here? You hear his prompting in your spirit to do one thing, but your fear-trained mind says that can't work, and almost without thinking about it any further, you follow the fear instead of faith. Let's read that again. You hear his prompting in your spirit to do one thing, but your fear-trained mind says that can't work, and almost without thinking about it any further, you follow the fear instead of faith. It wasn't that the Father didn't lead, you didn't listen. It isn't that the Father didn't lead, you didn't listen. It is never a matter of God not doing. It is a matter of our not receiving and walking. Receiving and walking in what he has already done in Jesus on the cross and what he is doing now in us through his word and the Holy Spirit. I want to stop there. I had a call from my daughter this afternoon, and she was talking about my health, and she said, well, if you do this and this, I said, I'm doing everything I am supposed to be doing according to God. And in his timing, he'll heal me totally and completely. Well, if you would do this, and if you do that, and you do the other, I said, I'm doing exactly what God told me to do, but you're sick. I said, my body might be saying I'm sick, but God said in the heavenly realm, I'm healed. Well, you can't breathe. Well, God told me I shouldn't let the devil steal my breath, so I have to fight for my breath right now. Are you understanding this? God has done his part. Now it's up to me to receive what he said and to walk it out. Are you listening? All right, before the end of 2019, those who believe and will obey his word will be walking fully in his leadings and directions in life. I'm telling you, if you'll just believe God, before the end of 2019, those who believe and will obey his word will be walking fully in his leadings and directions in life. Are you listening here? You have to believe. Like I said to her today, I said, well, I can't do all the mighty works he's called me forth to do if I'm dead. Right? And I can't do all the mighty works if I'm sickly. So he told me I'm healed, so I'm healed. And when I sit up here sometimes, you all don't know what my body is doing, but I come to church and I press forward because the devil's not going to make me lay home and act like I'm sick. Are you understanding this? People say, well, don't talk about you being sick. Well, you know, I need to tell you one thing. I have to be honest with you to let you see that I walk in total faith and I believe God and I receive what he says to me. You guys couldn't get along with if I died. You need me to get my little whip out and whip you into shape. No, I'm just chiding there. But really, I have too much to do to let the devil take me out. And you all need to start thinking the same way, too. You do. Think about what that means. What did I say here? Oh, before the end of 2019, those who believe and will obey, you have to obey his word, will be walking fully in his leadings and directions in life. Think about what that means. God knows everything. God knows everything. What has God been telling us? He's been saying, I'm going to reveal my heart to my chosen people. Now, do you believe that God's going to reveal his heart to you or do you not? I do. I believe that. I believe that God's going to tell us every deep secret of his heart. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here preaching it. But I believe, I only teach what I believe. Some may think, do we have the spiritual capacity to know all he knows? After all, we are only human. I've heard that excuse for I don't know how long now. First of all, You are not just human. You are born again, recreated in Christ Jesus, human. You're not just human. You are born again, recreated in Christ Jesus, human. Jesus came down from heaven not as a son of God, but the son of man, human. But yet he walked a holy life for, was it 33 years? And he accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish and went back on up to heaven. But he came down here human. The Son of God, human. You are born again, recreated in Christ Jesus, human. And you know, I always went to church. My grandmother always carried me to church since I was a little tiny baby. And I always went to church. But then in 77, I became born again. Total difference. You can always go to church. You can always live a good life. But it's not until you're born again, get filled full of the Holy Spirit, that then you start the war with the enemy. Until that point, he leaves you alone. But once you become born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have a warfare with the enemy. And from that day forward, he's going to try to take you out. Now we sing, oh, I'm a warrior and all this and that and the other junk. I mean, stop it. I mean, are you really? You know, do you? I don't think a lot of you believe what you sing. I think you say, well, we got to sing today, so we're going to follow these words, the bounce and ball thing, you know. But that isn't what it's all about. We are truly warriors of the Most High God. We're in a war. We're in a war, a big war. And it's going to get bigger because God said the darkness is going to come, then the gross darkness. I was reading something about out in California. I can't remember how it went. But they were talking about something about California, what's going on out there. And they said, now we're waiting for the big one. And the big one's a big earthquake. And God told me years ago in a prophetic word, he said a lot of, you know, the country was going to be messed up. He said, and the earthquake's going to happen. He said, but watch for the big earthquake. And now I'm hearing a lot of people saying about they're looking for the big earthquake. So something's coming down the road. And maybe sooner than what we think. All right, a question to you tonight. Do we have the spiritual capacity to know all that God knows? And the answer is yes. The recreated human spirit has the same capacity to know as Jesus does. Let's take him at his word and renew our minds by becoming God inside minded. How many of you, when something's going on, you say, God, I don't understand what's going on. I need to have the mind of Christ right now. I need to know what you're thinking about this, and I need to know what's going to happen. And how many of you, he immediately starts telling you all about it. You know, he just tells you exactly what's going on, how it's going to turn out. See, at that point, then you are God inside minded because you reach out to God and you say, God, I don't have the answer. Nobody else does either. You're the only one who has the answer. So I need to hear from you about what's going on. Remember, first of all, that 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the anointing that is on the mind of Jesus available to us. You really don't believe that, but it's the truth. We have the anointing that is on the mind of Jesus available to us. Also remember that God is love. Here's what I do. When something's going on and God's not speaking to me, I'll say, okay, God, Jesus said that he only did what the Father did. And I can't do anything unless you tell me. So I'm going to sit right here and do nothing until I hear your voice telling me what to do. And he starts speaking. He wants to know that you know. He knows what you know, but he wants to know that you know that unless he talks to you and tells you, and I'm hearing him say fully equips your mind, you really can't do the right thing until you get the mind of Christ. Then 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. All right, Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to do what? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That was a mouthful, so we're going to go back and read the mouthful again, all right? Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, if you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have that power in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you have to have that love walk going, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and to know this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. In verse 16, we see that God, the Holy Spirit of truth, is ready to fulfill what Jesus promised by expanding our recreated inner man to the place of receiving all the fullness of God. Let's read that again. In verse 16, we see that God, the Holy Spirit of truth, is ready, if you are, he's ready to fulfill what Jesus promised by, how is he going to do that? By expanding our recreated inner man to the place of receiving all the fullness of God. He's going to go inside there and expand you on the inside so that you can receive all the fullness of God. Verse 18 declares that he is here to do this for all the saints, everyone who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's not going to just do it for a select few like some preach. He's going to do it for all. I don't care if you've been born again one day or 100 years. He's going to do it for all. Some of you think, well, that person is never going to be saved. And all of a sudden, boom, they're saved. And they're going to be walking all the fullness of God. And you're going to stand back and say, I can't believe this. That's the way it's going to work. All right. We need to thank God that his word tells us that he is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care what you did 20 minutes before you walked into the church. God loves you. And God is forevermore leading, guiding, and directing you. He's constantly pulling at your heartstrings, pulling you closer and closer to him. And if you will only abide under the shadow of the Almighty, God is going to protect you from all the storms of life. He just is. Are you listening? And really, at this given day and time, God wants to give you all the desires of your heart. And I don't mean ungodly things, but the things you really do have need of. And he wants to supply all of your needs. He really wants to supply all of your needs. Now, you know, it's becoming the first of the month. Remember, we moved in here. It wasn't the place God wanted me to move into, but the people said we needed to move in here, and we did, out of my home. And God said, this isn't where I wanted you, I will keep you while you're here. You won't have an overflow of abundance while you're here, but I'll keep you while you're here. And so every month, I say, okay, God, the first of the month is coming, and we don't have enough money to pay our bills. One service today, he gave us enough money to pay our bills. That's the kind of God that I serve. Are you listening? See, and he does that because I'm faithful to and just and true to him. He'll do the very same thing to you. He will pay your bills. If you just knew what income I have, which is hardly nothing, he pays all my bills in my home. I don't lack paying any bill. Because my God is a good God. And he takes care of his own. Are you listening? But see, you have to be totally sold out to him. You have to love him more than life itself. You have to love him more than you do your kids. And then you have to walk with him in holiness and purity of heart, and he will take care of you. He really will take care of you. So why are you looking at a man to supply your needs? A man will supply. A man or woman can supply your needs, and they will, because God laid upon their hearts to do it. But you're trusting in God because you don't know who God wants to use to help you. Are you listening here? All right, verse 20 says exactly what we are talking about. He is working in you now. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, so you have to have that love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, why, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I keep reading these scriptures over again because you need to get them engraved in your heart. You need to understand what the word is saying about you and the way God loves you. The two key elements that come from us into the working of all this are faith, you know, through this scripture here, is faith and love. First of all, you have to have love, and then you have to have faith. Because without love, your faith doesn't work, in case you don't know that. You have to have that love walk going. Faith worketh by love, and love is released by faith. Faith worketh by love, and love is released by faith. And that just doesn't mean just love who you want to love. The Bible says love the unlovely, right? Love those who persecute you, right? Love those who spitefully use you, right? You have to love everybody. You can get disgruntled at them every now and then. But don't lose your love for them. Amen. You might not like what they're doing, but you still have to love them because they're a child of God. All right? Come on. This is where we lose the battle, because we quit loving, because they become unlovable. And therefore, we don't follow the rules of God and his word and love them no matter what they do to us. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit work by faith, not by fear. Oh, I'm going to lose my home any day. That's fear. There's no faith in that, and God can't help you. Are you listening? Pastor Barbara's not going to like the song service. That's fear. That's not faith. God, she's going to think there's the best song service in the world. That's faith. Are you listening? Come on. The gifts of the Spirit work by faith, not by fear. Fear works against the anointing. Faith works with the anointing. The spirit of fear and the spirit of Antichrist are the same spirit. God, which is love, has not given us a spirit of fear. Love, which is God, has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound or a renewed mind. If you're always walking in fear that something's going to happen, then you do not walk in love. Verse 17 also gives us a place to start, which is faith in love. Faith in God. When the word says love never fails, believe it. Love, who is God, never fails. Believe it. When Jesus said the Father loves you just as much as he loves him, believe it. You know, Jesus said that God loves us just as much as he loves him. Believe that. Quit arguing with God. You only do that because you want to do your dumb junk. and you're trying to get some excuse to do it. Come on, let be honest with yourself. And so you're just trying to make excuses, but it doesn't work. Because the word is truth. It's yes and amen, right? All right. When Jesus said, I command you to love one another just as I have loved you, first believe that God, who is love, in you has the capacity to love as he loves, and then do it, obey, commit to it. When Jesus said, I command you to love one another just as I have loved you, you have to first of all believe that God, who is love, that's in you, has the capacity to love as he loves, and then do it, obey, commit to it. You can love anybody. Get out of here. You can. You choose not to. And I tell you that because that's what God told me one time. You can do this, you just don't want to do it. It wasn't about love, but it was about something else. I forgot what it was. He said, you can do it, you just don't want to. That's where some of you are at today. You can do all the things the Word of God tells you to do, you just don't want to do it yet. You're not sold out to God 100%. Come on. The enemy's going to really work against you to try to make you get out of your love walk. He got me out of my love walk one time, and God said, come back to your first love. Let me tear down those two layers of brick now that you built up and get this together, because I can't use you where you're at right now. He can't use you if you even have one layer of brick around your heart. Your heart has to be open to be hurt if you're going to be used by God. Jesus was hurt continually. He didn't build no walls, did he? There are no excuses for disobeying the direct order left us by our commander-in-chief, Jesus, the anointed Son of the living God. There are no excuses for disobeying the direct order left to us by our commander-in-chief. You know, everybody in here, including me, we weren't always lovable. Every one of us have done things that we shouldn't have done and become unlovable. So why are we judging somebody else who is unlovable at that time? You don't know what they went through before they left their house. You don't know that their coffee was cold, not hot, and it made them mad. You know, you just don't know what they went through. All right? So why judge them when you see them being a little bit disgruntled? I hope that you love others as Christ loved you. You can have a whole lot of fun if you love people. You can even be upset and still be lovable. Do you know that? Come on. You might be saying, if I do that, won't people just run over me? Yeah, they will. They will. But here's my answer to you. That is fear speaking. So I said, there are no excuses for disobeying the direct order left us by our commander-in-chief, Jesus, the anointed Son of the living God. And you might be saying, if I do that, won't people just run over me? That is fear speaking. But I'll tell you, people will run over you when you walk in the love of God, because they just take you for granted. And they keep using you and abusing you. But God said, love those, didn't he not? Love those. So we just keep right on loving. And we don't look at what they're doing to us. We look at them and say, you poor, pitiful creature. You really don't know what you're doing. God, please forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Because I'm a child of the Most High God, and they're standing there ridiculing me, putting me down after all I've done to them, for them. But why are you counting what you did for them? We aren't supposed to think that way. If you do a favor for somebody, then you just do it and forget about it. You do it from your heart, right? And then you don't hold it up before them. See what I did? See what I did? See what I did? And that's what people do, though, isn't it? Well, see what I did for you. Is what we see that we can't do that. Does Jesus say that to you? Absolutely not. Don't tell me he does, because he doesn't. All right, faith and love, which is God, says, I may look to the world like a lamb to the slaughter, but I know I am more than a conqueror. You might look like a dumb fool, but you're more than a conqueror, because you stay in that love walk. Somebody said to me one time, oh, you've been holy all your life. Now, what are you going to do whenever you die? There is no heaven, there is no hell. And I said, well, I'll be better off than you are, because you're miserable and I'm not. I'm happy and you're miserable. So, you know, I'll just keep running on loving And if I die and find out that that wasn't the truth, I was happy loving anyhow. All right? I didn't get ulcers from it, not loving. The enemy couldn't come and attack me anytime he feels like it. He can only do it when God gives him permission. But love conquers all. It really does. Always remember that. So, greater, is that where I'm at? Greater. Greater is love, he, which is God, that is in me than he, fear, that is in the world. Greater is the love of God that's in you than the fear that is in the world. Quit bowing your knee to fear. Love, God has been, love who is God has been shed abroad in my recreated human spirit. Now, when you was born again, was your human spirit really recreated? Or did you just walk around and think it was? If it was really recreated, then you became a different person. You were no longer the one same person that before you was born again. Your life started changing drastically. I throw myself completely over on him. His word is for first place. This way you should be thinking. I throw myself completely over on God. His word is first place in my life. His desire and plan for me is my life. You know, in other words, you don't have any plans. God's plans for your life is what you're looking forward to. In him, who is love, I have my life and my being. Therefore, victory is assured. Do you believe that tonight? You really believe that tonight? You're not going to have any victory unless you believe that. Come on. I'm hearing God say we're going to start hearing testimony after testimony of people who were saved because of the love that you shed abroad to them, even when they was unlovable. Are you listening? Many, many people are going to be saved because you became a servant and let your love keep going forth no matter what anybody was doing to you or saying about you. Your love was first and foremost before you, and that's what caused them to receive Christ. You should be saying, I can do all things through Christ, through love, God in me, which strengthens me. Before the end of this year, I will be walking in the fullness of God for my life. We have, what, 24 more days, right? Before the end of the year. Before the end of this year, I will be walking in the fullness of God for my life. Why? Because I am becoming God inside minded. In other words, every day you're going to think, God is inside of me. And I think like God thinks. I have the mind of Christ. I no longer have the mind of Barbara, but I have the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Barbara would like to knock you out. Right? Right? But the mind of Christ says, shed love abroad. The mind of Barbara would like to take your bag and say, "Don't, I don't want to ever see you again." And I'm talking about a lot of people I know. But the love of God says, I love you in your mess. And I'm hoping that my love for you brings you out of your mess and brings you into the fullness of who you truly are in Christ Jesus. You were a mess at one time. And somebody came to you with love and compassion, and they loved you through your mess. After they left, you said, oh my God, that is a mess. And how are we ever going to get through to them? But because of the love, because of the love that we kept shedding abroad, and because of the prayers that went forth, we see many, many people being brought up out of that miry clay. And we see them standing on the solid rock. And you know, we see great and mighty works that God's going to do through them. And I'm waiting to see now you guys start doing your ministries. And I'm waiting to see, I want you bunch to go so and do your ministry so I get a new bunch to preach to. No, I'm just joking. But really and truly, God is getting ready to put you people out there where you belong, to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. But he's not going to release you till you're fully equipped, because the souls that he's going to give you to mentor, they're going to need the full truth of the word. They're going to need the full love of God. And they half-truths won't bring them forth. And they want to see a vessel that's, when you give your testimony, they're going to say, you were that, and now you're this. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see a vessel that was that and still that. They want to see hear a testimony that says, this is where I was. But this is where we need to be. We need to be brought up out of the grave and brought into that marvelous light. And ever since I was born again and God, you know, the Holy Spirit moved upon me, God has always used me to encourage. I was encouraging people before I had the Holy Spirit, but He's always used me to encourage and to build up. He's always told me I had to walk in holiness and purity of heart. And that's why we have this picture, because that was the very first thing that God told me. So I wasn't down in the valley. I wasn't out there, you know, every church I went to, I was there to help and not to hinder. And God kept moving me on and kept doing different things with me. Why? Because no matter what, I think I was kicked out of 3 churches. But anyhow, I think I went to 4, but I was kicked out of 3. But I didn't hold it against them. They didn't want me there. That was fine. I find someplace else to go. And finally, God settled me into what He has me in today. Why did He do that? Because He could trust me, because I didn't talk about the churches. I didn't get upset. I just said, well, they don't like me. Not everybody's going to like me. A whole lot of people don't like me. But then a whole lot of people love me. You see that? You know, and I'm not looking for either. God loves me. God has called me. And I'm His child. It's His breath that I'm breathing today, not yours. That's the way you should think too. I don't care what you think of me, it's what you should be thinking. The breath of God is in me, and God loves me. And as long as I'm following Him, He will lead God and direct me into all truth. All right? You can say what you want to about me, but I know who I am. I just wish more of you would know who you are in Christ Jesus. You would be so happy. You'd go home delirious in the car. You'd be thinking, oh, they're so dumb. They come against me, a child of God. God, they just don't know what they're doing. I tell my family that now. I said, you better watch. You don't know what you're doing. I'm the apple of God's eye. And you're in trouble right now for what you did. Just now. I tell them. I don't want to stand before God and Him say, why didn't you tell them? I'm trying to get it through their heads that you cannot come against a child of God and survive. And you can't. Now, the only way you can go around saying that you're the apple of God's eye, is if you're really walking with God with purity of heart, righteousness, and shedding the love abroad to the people. You can't go around saying, well, I'm the apple of God's eye, and I'm doing my drugs around the corner and going to the motel with somebody. You know, you can't say that. I mean, you can say it, but it's not the truth. You're the apple of God's eye when you're following Him with all your heart. You've made a covenant with Him. You've committed yourself to Him. And you're doing what He wants you to do, not what you want to do. The altar's open tonight. God wants you to be God inside minded. In other words, tonight, when you come up before God, He's going to change your mind. And He's going to give you the mind of Christ, totally and completely unadulterated mind of Christ, and you'll no longer be thinking about yourself all the time, but you'll be thinking as God is. And it's going to be undiluted. This God mind that you're going to get it, God's saying it's going to be undiluted. It's going to be full of His glory and His power. So the altar's open if you want that God inside mind of Christ. Now, when you get the God inside mind of Christ, you'll quit fighting with people around about you. You'll sit quietly by and let them say and do whatever they want to say and do, knowing that God is in control of your life. They are not. And they can say and do whatever they want, but God has the final say-so. And yet we always let God do His work first, and then we do the ministry. So receive all that you can from God tonight while you're at the altar.